You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 14 April, we got local mining production data due 11:30 this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Pietie Redenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. I want to find out, how does he manage his trading and investing when there is so much sort of, I don't know, unverifiable data or real information? There is noise, the fog of war. How does he manage it? Ian Anderson from Merchant West Investment. REIT sector saw quite a big sell-off in March as this opportunity. And then Michael Dawn from RT Group. Restructuring needs to be an internal process within corporate, not just a crisis response. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Municipal water electricity losses total 25 billion rand a year. And of course, we are paying for it. Bloomberg, Trump begins Hormuz blockade, even as US and Iran eye more talks. Morning markets, US is green, S&P up 1%, NASDAQ 1.1% higher. The East is mixed. We've got Sydney almost a percent weaker. Tokyo 2.5% up, Hong Kong almost 0.5% up, and 0.2% in the red. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 4,794. Brent is the red at 98.58. Platinum is 2,100. Palladium 1,587. The rand is 16.41. Bitcoin 74,400. And top 40 opening call, green open 527 points, or almost 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Pietie Redenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. As I was saying in the intro there, Pietie, I mean, it's you know, trading, investing, always tough. There's always a lot of unknowns. More in the current sort of environment, the last 6 weeks, with just contradictory and stuff coming through on Twitter. How do you and your team sort of manage the fog of war, the not knowing, and yet still being invested in trading?
Well, good morning. Thank you for chatting to me this morning. And I think it's a good question. I really don't. Now, the general question I get a lot from people is, what do I do? What happens tonight? Why do I position myself? And, you know, the truth is I can't really tell others what to do. I can sort of say what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially what we do is a couple of things. Is one, keep cash buffer. So keep cash available so that if there are things that are looking very attractive, we have money to spend, right? Mm-hmm. Also, additional cash does help, you know, reduce a bit of volatility. Although, you know, if you are in tech stocks and the things get hammered, you're going to get hurt, right? So essentially, one, keep a bit of cash. Two, don't chase fads. So we have, like, no NVIDIA in our portfolios.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot, right? So essentially, invest in things that you fundamentally believe is undervalued. So high-quality companies or high-quality sectors, it has a narrative and a theme beyond that of being reactionary to the wartime situation or being dependent on the wartime situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
invest in a narrative that is something that you understand and that you would want to be in regardless of whether or not there is war. So essentially undervalued sectors or stocks, mm-hmm. right? And then just manage your exposure, right? If there is an opportunity for you to take the money, take it. Right, a little bit of profit doesn't hurt. Right, for example, at some point we bought some gold stocks.
Yeah,
the stuff ran really hard. We, sold them off, and at some point you think, well, we sold a bit too early. Sasol was another good example. Right, how long have we been talking about Sasol?
Gent, forever. Well, no, right? About a year.
About a year, right? Yeah. It feels like forever.
It does.
But when it started going, at some point, we sold all of it. And I thought to myself, geez, we sold it too soon. I mean, we're out like 150, 160. This thing went, it's going to go 200, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think on Twitter, when it got to around 200, I said, take the money. So by the time it got to 200, we were completely out. And that was just because, not because we believed that the narrative had shifted and that we don't want to be long Sasol in the energy complex anymore. No, we're still long uranium. We're still long oil. However, if the things move like 100% in a few months, like, take the money, man. You know, it's not normal for stuff to do that. So I think one of the things is that, you know, one of the major things is just if you see stuff that is irrationally fast, take the money off the table. Don't be greedy. I was having a discussion with somebody the other day where, you know, he'd said to me, he's like, look, I often get the right call and I'll go up big, but then I wait 2-3 days too long and I give it all back. Mm. And that's exactly that problem, is not knowing when, oh, the oil price moved $10. I mean, that's massive, right?
Yep.
So when you see these types of extraordinary moves, take the money off the table, go back to having cash. There's going to be another opportunity tomorrow. So essentially, all of that comes down to just ignore the noise and manage your exposure. Don't get caught up in, oh, I'm long oil from 90 and it's 110. It's going to go to 150. It might not. Take the money.
Yeah, I like that. Ignore the noise. And it is about exposure. That is really where your risk sits. So ignore noise, manage exposure, and take profits when they come your way. Don't be shy to take profits. That was a lesson took me a while to learn. We'll leave it there. Petri Radenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. Always appreciate the early morning time. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Ian Anderson. He's head of listed property and a portfolio manager at Merchant West Investments. Ian, appreciate the time. The REIT chart book is out. SA REITs, you and I have been chatting. Phenomenal returns in 2024, again in 2025. March, a poor month for REITs locally, down 12.3%. Takes their quarterly return down to -4.3. This is not fundamentals. This is the war in Iran that saw volatility and markets spooked.
Absolutely. I mean, it was all linked to what was happening in bond yields, global bond yields, but specifically South African bond yields, you know, moving over 100 basis points. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be good for property at all. And the volumes were big as well. There was almost 20 billion rands worth of shares that changed hands as well. So it was an interesting month for property, put it that way.
I mean, and that's the point. Not directly about the fundamentals. 12.3% off. And actually, I mean, it was a busy month. We saw Vukile expanding in Spain, Growthpoint, High Prop, good dividend distribution growth. The underlying fundamentals were continuing to look impressive.
Especially here in South Africa. So, you know, when you look at businesses like High Prop and Growthpoint, especially in because they've obviously got big South African businesses, but they've also got big offshore businesses, it's been driven almost, well, not exclusively, but very much driven by what's happening here in South Africa. So the improving South African fundamentals are helping most of the REITs deliver very, very strong dividend growth. We're starting to see these fairly substantial upgrades. You know, you're talking, I think in the last quarter, dividend growth was over 9% on average. You know, and that's a very, very healthy position for these REITs to be in. So, you know, again, the 12% decline in prices is very surprising against a backdrop of improving fundamentals. But clearly, as you said, it's related to the Iran war and what's happening with bond yields.
Yeah, I mean, a war happening half a planet away. And what we have seen, and you and I have chatted around this, where sort of growth, well, not growth, returns for the year was going to be, a lot of it was going to be around yield and growth in that yield. And we have been seeing that. We are seeing yields pick up year on year.
Absolutely. You know, we've had the re-rating. A lot of these REITs are trading at or around their net asset value. So there's not much more scope for the ratings to change. In other words, for the yields to reduce. What you had to get was your dividend yield, which is around 8% now, plus whatever growth we were expecting in that dividend. And so, you know, that number is likely to be somewhere around, you know, 8-10%. So you're still looking at, we were still looking for decent returns this year, somewhere between sort of 12 to 15, maybe even up to 18%. But obviously, you know, the war in Iran has been a bit of a setback. But it's given people a, I think it's given people a second bite at the cherry. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people probably started this year thinking, "Whoa, you know, listed properties had its run. I'm not going to get another chance at this." And suddenly you find yourself, you know, with an opportunity to get in at prices that are 10-12% lower than where they were at the end of February.
Yeah, absolutely. Change track tightly. Try that again. Changing track slightly. Business day today, talking an article, talking around office vacancies down at 12.6%. We're seeing office, and they make the point that this is sort of about the best since mid-2020. Office continues to grind to a better position and manage their vacancies. It's improving slowly, but it's improving.
Correct. And I mean, a lot of it has to do, and we've spoken about this a few times, you know, there are a few levers that you can pull in order to reduce vacancy. One is not to add new supply into the into the equation. And I think that's the one thing that there's just been no new supply of office space. There's been a lot of conversions of office into residential. So that's taken space out of the equation. And then I think we are starting to see, you know, more and more businesses are requiring their staff to come back to work more than 3 days a week, you know, 4 days a week, 5 days a week. And there has been a little bit of economic activity. We have seen, especially in markets like Cape Town, that there has been demand for office space from, you know, overseas or non-South African businesses that are looking to establish a presence in Africa, start a base here in South Africa. So there is, in certain markets, there is demand for office space, but a lot of that, the reason the vacancies have dropped is mainly as a result of the lack of new supply.
Yeah, I take your point. It is a supply. Last question. We saw a fair bit happening around indices. There's the quarterly index review, which the JSE does every quarter. That was sort of effective 23 March. And we saw a couple of REITs moving into property and SA REIT index, which is kind of expanding and making them sort of good for both the REITs and the indices.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the likes of Dapula, Octodec, and Spear all made their way into the ALLP. The JSE has changed their inclusion criteria. You know, you didn't have to just be in the All Share Index in order to be in the ALLP. So as long as you met liquidity criteria, you could get into the ALLP, and it's great because it now adds, and these are not small businesses anymore. Yeah, they used to be sort of less than 2 billion rand in market cap, but you know, they're much bigger businesses today. They're looking to expand, they're looking to issue new capital looking to raise new capital in order to grow their portfolios, and being a member of the ALLP is definitely the way to go. It allows more and more institutional investors to gain access to these businesses. Yeah, I think it's great. It expands the opportunity set for investors in South Africa.
Yeah, and they're not small. I mean, I quickly pulled up Spear just as one of them. Market cap, 5 billion. That's a chunky size. Right, we'll leave it there. Ian Anderson, Head of Listed Property and Portfolio Manager at Merchant West Investments. Appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Michael Dorn, CEO at the RT Group. Michael, appreciate the time today. CRO, Chief Restructuring Officer. I've got to say, a concept I hadn't heard of before reading an article from yourself. And one of the headline findings is that 83% of these chief restructuring officers arrive too late. When you say too late, what does this mean in practice?
Yes, Simon, I'm quite often using an example of an hospital. So imagine a patient is being delivered to the emergency room. And there are also emergency rooms for companies, of course. So if you get into an emergency room, it's quite late because you are basically had a bad accident or whatever. And then you need a very special doctor who can intervene quite quickly. And that's what we call in business a chief restructuring officer. But as we all know, if you're in the emergency room, it's quite bad. So what professionals say is, in a company where you can see that you're heading toward the direction of an emergency room, get these doctors in earlier so they can prevent the most invasive actions that they have to do in an emergency room.
I like the analogy, and it tells me two things. One is this sort of the idea of a white knight swooping in at the last minute is a terrible idea, but you also used plural there, which suggests that this isn't perhaps a one-person job anymore. This really is a team, and perhaps it's a team that sits within a business almost on a permanent basis.
Yes, that's the ideal situation. So if you think about where we are today in today's economy, there's a lot of disruption happening. Economies are changing, digitalization. I think we've all seen that. So change has become a constant factor in business. So in my experience, the best is if every business adapts a restructuring mindset. So if you are aware of a leader that your business has to change every 5 years, and that gets to your point, if you have a team that can change every 5 years the direction of the business, I think that's the most proactive approach that the business should take.
I take your point. And this isn't necessarily, because when I first read the article, I'm thinking this is about sort of your business going bankrupt. And that certainly may be the case. But it's also just the case that the environment is changing. And I mean, you know, we could throw AI into it, but truthfully, we can go pre-AI, we can go the pandemic, we can go before the pandemic even. Things are changing. What worked today simply might not be viable in 5 years' time. And it's that sense of having someone whose job it is to keep their eye on that.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the pandemic, which I really like as an example. Look how many companies successful came out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. How many business models were able to change within a few weeks' time and were very successful during the pandemic. And I think that's the mindset that a chief restructuring officer concept, if you want to put it as a concept, can actually bring to the table. So you constantly regard your business as being in a little crisis. So you're always on alert. What can I do better? And if something happens, you just develop.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose part of that as well is being comfortable, maybe, I think it is the right word, being comfortable with difficult decisions. You know, business is going great, don't touch anything. Actually, there might be some hard decisions we need to make.
Yes, and that's actually the best timing. So I can tell you from my experience, if it is too late in a business sense, so you are in the emergency room, it is always a consequence of not taking the right decisions and the tough decisions at the right point of time. And I actually understand it personally. You're getting complacent, you fight the whole time. Why would I do that now? It might work out. But that's exactly why you need an instance in your organization that says, wait, guys, here's something we got to do. And then you need to listen to it, of course.
What are sort of someone, a business owner out there, perhaps listening to the show, what are some of the warning signs that they should be looking for? Or is it a case of they're going to be coming at you and you will know them when you see them?
That's a very good question, Simon. And I would love to have the answer to it. What I can tell you from what I have seen is many, many businesses say there was an external factor that brought us in a difficult situation. I do not believe in that. Because there's always a competitor who's in the same market, but they are mastering the situation. So they must have done something different. So in the end, it's a management issue. And I think the biggest issue really is complacency. You fight for a long time, you have a good organization, it's all going well. So maybe because you're tired, you don't see it anymore.
But I like that. It's not an external issue. It is invariably, there's a lot happening external. There's a competitor out there who's doing fine. There's a pandemic. There's AI. There's all of these sort of things. But invariably, it's going to be an internal issue. And I'm thinking of two examples that were mentioned in your article, Tongaat Hewlett, Post Office. In both cases, these were internal issues.
Yes, and I think so. Or even if I got a lot of calls in the last few weeks about the war in Iran.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it will have consequences on businesses. And I say it depends how good the management is reacting to it. It's the same issue. I really believe it's a management issue in the end.
Of all the challenges out there, I hadn't even thought of the war in Iran. Of course, that currently ongoing and the top of mind at the moment. Michael Dorn, CEO, RT Group. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. A poll today with Ian Anderson there, talking around the REITs, down over 12% in March, asking you if you see any value in the REIT space. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. And yesterday I was chatting with Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers, talking stock-based compensation, the good, the bad, and the very ugly. Was it Snowflake? 40% of revenue is then turned into stock-based compensation. We asked you what you thought about issuing shares to staff. Half said fine, as long as it seems fair. A third said the terms are really, really important. The rest said you don't like it at all. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. A new offshore ETF from ETFSA.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.